Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and this is already weekend 9 approaching us. This is a beautiful week. We have blue skies, sun, it's warm out, I didn't wear a jacket. Snow is melting after this great snowfall this past weekend. It is really pretty out. If you didn't have a chance yet, please come soon and enjoy those snowmobile trails. All the cross-country skiing and all these things. Stay tuned. We have Jonathan Smith with us from the city of Perham. He's the city administrator and will share with us some insights about the area and this growing and yet really wonderful place. We are recording from Perham and I really enjoy the community. So stay tuned for this. Also, if you haven't been to our expo last weekend, we will air some recordings of the program on stage. If you have been there, thank you very much. It was really a great event I found. I hope you did too. If you have some suggestions about improving the event, adding some things or such, please feel free to email us as always to hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And also if you want to add something to our program here, share some of your Lake Life stories or have an idea for an interview guest, please feel free to email us. Special thanks to our partner and sponsor, supporter of this podcast, At Ease Dock and Lift here in Frazee. They're located on Highway 10, leaving Detroit Lakes right before the Frazee exit. They have a wonderful new showroom and are equipped with many options for a dock and lift system. They help you get it in and out. They have floating systems. They have very nice aluminum docks and lifts. John is your go-to at Ease Dock and Lift, and he will equip you and advise you with anything you need to enjoy this summer season. Please check them out at Ease Dock and Lift on Frazee, in Frazee on Highway 10. Thank you very much for supporting this program. Okay, I don't want to keep this any longer. We are now turning into our interview part with John Smith from the city of Perham. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. Well, hello. I'm sitting here with John Smith from the city of Perham. John is the city administrator. Okay. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Before we speak about Perham, the area, maybe some city details, history, and then maybe visioning.
Sure.
Let's touch on who is John, and right. Then what is the role of a city administrator itself?
Like, sure.
Who's yeah. John? Where you are you from?
So, I grew up in Hillsboro, North Dakota, a nice little small town on I-29 on the eastern part of North Dakota. Town of about, well, when I was growing up, about 1,200 people. So small towns is kind of who I've always been and where I've always been a part of. So I grew up there, was fortunate to go K through 12. You know, a lot of people move in these days in and out of communities, but I was fortunate to be stable in my education and my hometown, I guess, and do that. And from there, I went to Morehead State. At the time, it was transitioning from Morehead State to Minnesota State University Morehead.
Yeah.
So that Minnesota State University Morehead, even though it was that all 4 years I was there, still hard for me to say.
Oh, yeah.
Morehead State's just easy, right? I got my undergrad there in a degree called Legal Studies, emphasizing in business and economics, which was a new program. I was actually the first one to graduate from Morehead with that degree. So it was kind of my advisor took me under his wing with that program and kind of said, you know, let's go through this and see how it works out and what happens. So I got a lot of diverse knowledge when it came to You know, if it was paralegal, so legal research and writing, those types of things, as well as the business side and economic side of the
geared
world. So
towards what? I mean, it's very good for the city. I get that.
Right.
What was the program geared for?
It was just kind of a. It wasn't necessarily a pre-law, but it was kind of that mix of again paralegal, but more into again the business side. You know, in the end, it's. It's kind of specific for public administration in a roundabout way, because you really deal with a lot of those different aspects, you know, the business side of things, the economics, the planning, the philosophy of you know, growth and development, and then as well as that legal side, obviously,
I have
state
a very,
statutes. And
I have a very similar degree. In
sure.
fact, I have a business law degree from Germany, so actually very similar.
Yeah, so it's again, really well diverse. You know, if I would have stayed one more semester to tell you the broadness of it, I could have minored in philosophy and I could have minored in accounting.
Okay.
So, I mean, the two different spectrums of the brain, you know, that kind of melded together, but I enjoyed both sides of that. And so, like I said, I was fortunate to run into an advisor that kind of noticed that ability, I think, in me to kind of go through that. And so that was in one of my generals, I think freshman year, where I took a poli-sci class, and he kind of said, you know, we got this new program we're starting, and I think you'd be a good candidate for it. So worked out pretty good.
What? And that actually leads perfectly into the role that you are fulfilling today.
Yeah.
And what does a city administrator actually do? What is the
right?
responsibility?
Sure. So, you know, in different communities, it can mean different things. But for the most part, what we do is we oversee the general operations and functions of a community, right?
So, the CEO?
Yeah, basically the CEO of a community. So if you relate it to the business sector, that would be kind of that role. So, you know, what's the purpose of a community? What's the, you know, what's the general direction and idea of, you know, the city council, the city administrator, and city staff? You know, our role is to provide essential functions for people to live, work, and play, right? I mean, that's kind of where our role is and what we do. So, you know, we provide, again, water. You know, indoor plumbing is a great thing, great invention, right? So we provide water to get to homes. We provide the ability for people to dispose of waste, you know, so the sanitary sewer system. Also the ability for, you know, the stormwater, you know, to run off so it's not flooding properties, things like that. And then you get into, obviously, just the normal stuff that you start to see every day and utilize. So the streets, sidewalks, those facilities. Oversee that, obviously, in the winter. You know, we have our wonderful winters here, so snow removal, those types of things are all essential functions that people, you know, they capitalize on and utilize every day. So
One thing I learned, and it was foreign to me, but mm-hmm. I always read the city of so-and-so got incorporated. So that's kind of the founding, but it doesn't say founded. In Europe, it's always like it's founded, but here it's actually an incorporation.
Incorporated,
and the city is a business,
right?
In a way, it's very
recognized by the state. Yeah, as more
treated.
Of a business. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, how big is your budget volume? How many million?
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun to get into some of that because you know it departmentalizes a little bit because we have our general tax base, which is you know just again those general services, police, fire, streets, things like that. So that runs about $1.5 million, close to $2 million, just for the general functions, day to day services, and things like that.
Annually. Budget.
Yep. So, and then that changes, well, I shouldn't say it changes. There's additions and subtractions to that. So we also run, the water and sewer department actually run as separate entities and separate funds because they do generate revenue. So because they're independent, they're called enterprise funds. So they're handled in their own fund, basically. So they have ins and outs, and the general tax dollars don't typically go to those types of activities. So water and sewer are treated that way. The city of Perham, we do have a municipal liquor store, so we own and operate the off-sale liquor store in town, Landmark Liquors. And so that's handled kind of the same way as
an
enterprise
fund. So you're
doing
business to earn income,
right.
Like it should be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Just a comparison, illegal in Germany.
Right.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Like a city cannot compete with economy.
Right.
And this is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Where we all no seriously, I gotta say that now once, because we are always saying a free enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the United States, where we think so free,
yeah.
like we're actually competing with the economy.
Right.
Like the city is competing with a municipal liquor store. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. With a it's
yeah.
I'm stalled.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
So, Minnesota back, you know, quizzing me on the history of Minnesota again. You know, but back in the probably 40s, 50s and stuff, one of the ideas behind that and kind of the, well, it's probably even 30s after Prohibition.
Yeah.
One of the ideas behind that was to say, you know what, we're going to allow, you know, alcohol, you know, again, after Prohibition and allow that. But we want to still have some control over and education over how it's consumed. So I'm going back and I'm kind of guesstimating based off of some of the things with municipal liquor, is the idea that, they're able to educate and try to limit basically the abuse of alcohol. And so that was the idea of the control of municipalities
nice
to do
theory
that.
Right. Now.
Yeah, right. Nice in theory, right?
Now, maybe a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, probably
today.
Outdated a little. So so basically, you know, in today's world, a city, if they don't have, currently they don't have municipal liquor, so they don't have, you know, a liquor store on or off sale, they can't start one.
Ooh.
So a city can't, right? So if Perham didn't have theirs, and if we wouldn't have started ours back in the whenever we started it, we couldn't start one today. We couldn't get in the business today. So I think they had to exist before 1980. I want to say it was in the 80s.
Grandfathered in.
So
now it became more of the free enterprise.
Right.
You cannot compete anymore.
Right. So there's a lot of municipalities throughout the state that have actually disbanded their liquor for, you know, the sake of nonprofits. You know, doesn't help the city, doesn't do anything, actually could cost the city taxpayers dollars if they're not making money.
Oh yeah.
So they've disbanded those and allowed the free market to take over that section of it. So, you know, in Perham, we're very fortunate. As we talk about kind of the tourism and stuff that we have, we obviously generate a lot of traffic and we capitalize on a lot of the tourism aspect at the liquor store. So our liquor store is very profitable, and they actually contribute back and help reduce and offset the tax base locally. So they contribute upwards to $200,000 to $300,000
annually,
any given year, to help offset some of those. If they're special projects or if it's just general tax dollars or what have you to help offset that for the general taxpayer. So
we have, just to sum that up a little bit, mm-hmm. like not too number heavy, I love
right.
it, but so we have revenue streams for the city,
yep.
whether liquor, municipal liquor store, mm-hmm. The water plant or
yep.
whatever.
Water and sewer.
And then we have taxes,
yep.
property taxes. So these are all, and that's only a couple, 1.5 million of income?
Well, when you start adding the enterprise funds, it's extremely more than that.
Yeah,
so
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, you get upwards to, I think overall with all, everything is probably 6 to 8 million.
That's it?
Yeah, roughly.
I would have figured it would be way more. So
yeah.
Our city of Perham operates with a budget of 6 to 8 million.
Correct, yeah.
Income, and then we have to, that's all we can spend.
Right. Well, right, yeah.
We should.
Typically we save, you know, we try to save some of that too, you know,
for
unforeseen stuff and just being fiscally responsible with some of that. So
how many people are employed by the city of
Oh man, that's a good question. I think we have just under 40 full-time staff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's with our public works, which is street, water, sewer. We also do natural gas. So the city of Perham again is kind of unique in the sense that we own all the natural gas infrastructure in town, and we sell natural gas as a utility. Not a lot of communities do that. It's more common for electricity,
mm-hmm.
but we do natural gas. So that would be that department. That's with the police. That's with, you know, city administrative staff. That's with the library. We have a municipal library, the liquor store, all of that. So
how is, and then the school is actually the school independent?
Yes. Yep.
So it's like always the superintendent or something like that, right?
Right. Yep. So the superintendent would be basically the CEO of the school district.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So they so they're independent school districts in the state, and so they operate and function kind of on a whole different level.
And how? But they get funded through tax money too, don't they?
They also, yes. So on
the new school, you're building a new school.
Right. Yeah. So that was passed through a vote. So that's a kind of another mechanism for their funding source to build that. So, you know, typically on a tax statement, property tax statement, you'll see a couple items listed on there. The three majors would be the city, the county, and the school district.
Yeah.
So we're all, you know, the three
I
separate
should just
funding.
That.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so those would be your, you know, your three different major tax revenue generators from, you know, that's where your property taxes go. So, yeah, so it's kind of interesting. It's kind of unique. You know, Pahrump being, I believe we're the second largest city in Otter Tail County. We're actually on the bottom third in the county when it comes to tax rate. So meaning that our proportionability between the amount of taxes that we could, you know, there's a tax capacity. So if we taxed 100%, we'd create X amount of dollars, right? We're actually below 50%. We're about 47% of our tax capacity is what we levy in tax, property tax dollars. Which is actually the bottom third of the state. Believe it or not, there's some communities that are upwards to that 100-110% of their tax capacity that they're levying towards their tax bills. So, so what that says is basically that we're pretty efficient with the services that we provide and the dollars that we bring in to provide those services. So.
Okay. So now we learned you're actually a North Dakotan that became Minnesotan.
Yeah, I'm an implant.
You're an implant. And we understand the responsibilities. It's a small company, 40
right.
employees,
yeah.
Understood. We have just shy of 10 million budget,
yeah.
And that's not bad, yeah. Absolutely. And now Pahrump is growing, I think, for the past few decades. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Pahrump's been on a growth spurt here for, quite a few years now. And, a lot of it attributes to, obviously, we have a great industrial sector, a lot of growth in the industry, which provides, you know, jobs and people and the opportunity for people, and then also allows for other businesses and opportunities to open up that either complement or provide a service that we didn't have before. So, we've seen great growth, I think, in... you know, there was a number in the last 5 years, about 100 people per year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's about, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
where
far
are we
as
at?
Residential. We're probably about 3,250, maybe 33.
Okay.
Interesting enough, the census, we're gearing up for census work, you know, so every 10 years the United States does their census.
Yeah.
And so we got trainings coming up to begin that project and really find out where we're at and where
to
we
count?
Do.
Count?
So,
oh, what a census.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, we take the whole process is a little daunting, but our function is going to be to help and assist and try to really get people to fill out the surveys and take the you know, take the quizzes, if you will, that, you know, how many people are in your household, you know, what do you do for employment, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, it's not that the government's trying to invade on privacy and find out what exactly everybody does and how many people live in their house. It really helps us gauge, you know, what we have for people in our community and what kind of services
what the needs
we need,
are.
Yeah, what we need to provide for them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's interesting to know.
Yeah.
Very relevant. To
yeah, and it helps us, you know, as we move forward, if it's for growth, if it's for reconstruction, if it's for, you know, any of that stuff, those numbers really help us determine, you know, where that growth is going and how we can do that. And sometimes helps facilitate some grant dollars or some other funding sources to get projects done. So,
mm-hmm. So where we are sitting, like I spoke to actually Kevin Ketter once from Frazee.
Yep.
And you have been previously in Frazee, I do recall. I think he mentioned that when he went to high school, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, I don't remember, he said Frazee and Pahrump were the same size.
Yeah.
And now they are fairly small, I don't know, a few hundred. And we have almost 3,500 people living in Pahrump.
Yeah.
And that happened over the past 40 years. So
yeah.
It has been extremely successful.
Yeah, Pahrump's been, again, great. And you can kind of attribute that to the people in the community that are passionate about their community. They're willing to invest and reinvest in their community. They want to see it grow. They want to see it, you know, become a thriving destination, living, you know, breathing machine. So
yeah, year round. I mean,
yeah,
you're talking
yeah, year round,
residents.
And so we've been able to capitalize on that, and it's been well. And again, you know, we have quite a few different industries, right? Industrial side of things. I think most people know the industry side. They see that, you know, the Barrel of Fun, the Tuffies, Bond Guards. You know, those facilities that really generate some notoriety for the community and do some great marketing and stuff with their products and are passionate about being in Perham, which is great. But on the other side of stuff, we have a great downtown district, you know, a thriving downtown, which helps bring in, you know, the tourism aspect that I kind of mentioned earlier. And so we, you know, the tourism is an industry in and of itself as well. And so I think the community's really capitalized on that as well. And we have some great, you know, unique specialty shops and boutiques and things like that. coffee shops have come up, you know, pretty big in the last couple of years. Just a lot of cool different experiences for people to take in, and whether they want to take those in as a visitor, or if they want to take those in, you know, every day like some of us get to. So
I'm from a metropolitan area and with the subways and all that, so I'm always but I'm acclimating. I actually really like Perham for some reason. It has everything, from like even an airport, which is always stunning to me. We have a pretty big clinic. And then this new school. So that is that a new high school, correct?
Right, correct. Yeah. And so it's going to be a new high school, nine through 12, I think is what they're having in there, with some seventh and eighth grade junior high stuff in between the middle school and there. So.
And we are prepared for the next 15 years then, or like how, like this is?
Oh, I think we're hoping for longer than that.
I
think the build is, you know, anticipating, you know, the last high school served for about 100 years. So I think they're hopefully anticipating another, you know, at least 50 out of it, right? So.
How many communities get shuttled? Like, is it within, like where do the kids all come from?
Sure. So obviously the city of Perham and the school district size is fairly large. So we go down to Dent, Richville, Vergas, we get some from there, Ottertail area, the Ottertail Lake area, and then we go up north. I don't know if there's any.
Why Vergas? Isn't Vergas Frazee?
Vergas is technically Frazee, but the line's pretty close to there, so we actually send buses down that way.
Okay. Is it free enrollment? Can I just send my child here from Detroit Lakes?
That's a great question. So Minnesota does have open enrollment, which allows people to kind of send their children to, you know, the community or the school district that they'd like to, which was that's kind of a new thing for me too. Coming in North Dakota, we didn't have that. So, so I don't know all the ins and outs of that piece of it, but I know, you know, Perham does have a fairly large school district, which obviously brings in people every day to the district, and for if it's working or you know, as teachers or paras, or if it's bringing their kids to town and doing that. So it's kind of a unique, it's a great opportunity, I think, for the community. New high school is one of those things that attracts, you know, there hasn't been a ton of new high schools in the last few years, so it attracts some people. I think we'll see substantial growth in the next 5 years just because of that school. So.
Yeah, very interesting, actually. Yeah. I know that Detroit Lakes is struggling a little bit with their decision-making, it seems. The community is not so straightforward with a tax levy just because of the future. I think I have a son, 9-year-old, and I know that he is the future.
Right.
And I do a lot just for him, I guess. And if people don't want to invest in a school and education, again, it's mind-boggling. But like, so we do this here in Perham. How difficult was it? Was the community very embracing to do that, or was it difficult?
I think I wasn't here during the referendums and the votes for that. But you know, they did have to try a couple times.
They did.
So it wasn't a one and done kind of a deal, and everybody was on board. Sometimes it takes some effort to, explain what the project is, and maybe even, again, for those decision makers that are presenting the project to, kind of make them sharpen their pencils a little bit and come up with a solid plan that both meets the needs, right, of the children and the years to come, but as well as responsible for the people that are paying for it, the taxpayers, and what's going on there. So it took a couple of years, but I think they figured it out, and they obviously got there, and we're seeing that construction happen. And, we're looking kind of forward to see what that does to the community come fall of this year, 2018.
That's when it opens already?
Yeah. So
it's coming quick?
It's coming real quick. So it'll be exciting. It's kind of an exciting opportunity. So
yeah, what is the goal? Like, do we have, we want to, you know, Facebook language, we say how many followers,
right,
and just YouTube, it's subscribers. Now we're talking real life.
Yeah.
How many residents do you said we will grow potentially? Do we have a goal of 4,000 residents by 2025?
You know, that's interesting. We don't, you know, when we talk growth and we talk, you know, as far as, again, community growth and where we're going, it's really hard to really put numbers on it in that perspective. You know, would we like to see that? Yeah. I mean, again, everybody has different philosophies on what they want to see as growth in a community, right? There's some people that don't want to see any growth, frankly. Mm. You know, there's some people that are happy with the things that we have and are satisfied and you know, can live and breathe and, sure. You know, do the things that they need to do, and they're just fine with that, and they don't necessarily see the need to grow. On the other side, there's some people that want to see as much growth as possible, and they want to, you know, they'd like to see us be at, you know, 6,000 people in 10 years. So, you know, there's different sides of that. So, you know, as part of the city and what we do is try to accommodate that and really figure out what are the needs and the wants of the community and where do we need to go. So do we need to extend infrastructure and utilities and stuff so that there's a new development, if it's for housing or if it's for, you know, commercial development or things like that. So we really kind of try to plan that out a little bit as far in advance as we can and have those options for that growth in case we need it. So, again, if we're starting to see, you know, people wanting to move to Perham and, you know, again, the free market should dictate that, right? It should tell us that, you know, yeah, people want to come here and live here, and so you'll have, you know, developers come in and say, hey, we want to grow and develop you know, housing development, so the city needs to step in and help with getting the infrastructure to that housing development.
Do they have to?
I as a developer decide that
depends on where you're going to develop.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if it's within the scope of the city, yeah. I mean, we have to provide services. I mean, it's just for a magnitude of reasons. But the biggest thing is this consistency and you know, Perham, again, is unique in the sense our wellhead protection. So where we draw our water from, underground, the aquifer, is, you know, we need to protect that as
absolutely.
Well. So as we grow, we need to be mindful of where our aquifer is and how we're you know, either – affecting that, you know, the saturation of that water into those.
So we get groundwater.
Yeah, so we get all of our water from aquifers down below us. So,
okay.
And so we have
some, you know, clean rivers, right? I mean, Faro, right. I think, cleans the river, I believe.
Right, some river. Clean rivers, some pipe it miles and miles and miles from another source. But we're fortunate we have that resource right underneath us. And so,
okay.
So we need to be, and again, that's some of the reasons for the stormwater protection, for the sanitary sewer piece of that. We get as far as helping some of the farming community around us on how they fertilize and what they use to impact their products so that it doesn't seep
or
in.
Or water.
Right. So it doesn't.
Not. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
So there's a big, you know, like I said, it's kind of a big big
top.
Kind of puddle of stuff that we deal with and that
but
we
going
try
back,
to. Yeah.
Going back while we're at it, and I just realized, because I'm thinking I want more Facebook followers,
right? Yeah,
for this program, for
yeah.
example. Just as an example.
Right.
But do I want more people in my city? Do I advertise as a Perham, mm-hmm. say, hey, come move here? Or do I let the people decide and I'm just prepared? Because I think it's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I able to grow?
Right.
Is there land available? Do I, am I able to build the infrastructure to still yet protect my water?
Right.
So I think, yeah, interesting. I never, like, we are living so fast nowadays.
Right.
Yeah, that's like, oh yeah, more, more, more. Like, I don't know, more, more.
Right.
So it's a gradually growing. So it is like we are able to grow.
Right.
But we're not advertising to grow.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's
mixed.
We don't necessarily you know, we don't necessarily say that, you know, and do a marketing campaign again for, you know, open lots or bare lots or, you know, this area develop this. We kind of roll with that. And again, we've been Perham's been fortunate with the growth that we have had, that people see opportunity here and see the ability to grow and the potential to grow. And so, you know, that attracts people, right? So we don't necessarily have to do, as a municipality, as a city, do a campaign
enough.
To do that, right?
Mm.
People kind of come to us and say, hey, can we do this? We're interested in doing something like this. And we do everything in our power to help facilitate that.
Mm.
So we're not turning anybody away. You know, we're not saying, hey, Dirk, you know, you got this company, you want to come to town. we're not saying, yeah, we just don't have room for you. We're saying, how can we help accommodate you, and how can we do that?
So you're very open for growth.
Very open for growth, and as accommodating as possible that we can be. And again, you know, part of our role is that planning on, you know, where do we grow? You know, once we bust, you know, once we get to a certain point, you bust at the seams a little bit. And so where do we go from here, and how do we expand? Because, you know, frankly, everybody wants something different, right? Some people like the like you said, metropolitan area where everything's tight and close and you know, that experience. A lot of people, you know, in our area like to enjoy their own space and peace and quiet. And so the, you know, you look at different housing developments with lot sizes, you know, you got smaller ones, the, you know, bigger ones. So it's all trying to accommodate what those needs and wants are of the people. And yeah, it's kind of an interesting, I mean, you could go on for days the different philosophies of it. And frankly, we've been, again, we've had a great city council that are, you know, kind of those decision makers that ultimately make those decisions on how things go and what they want. So
they direct.
Right. They direct kind of that vision. Right.
So the people elected representatives,
So
give the direction.
The council's, you know, all elected. We have a 5-member council, 4-member council with the mayor. Mm-hmm. So five-member board, basically, that are elected by the people of Perham have that task of pushing that vision. And then part of my role is to help
execute it.
Help make that vision a reality. Yeah. So
I think we are in a and I learned this again. We are fairly unique yet because we are a city by a lake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two. Little
quite a few lakes, yeah, but we got
like, right on
really
it.
Close, yeah.
And don't are they in the city limits a little?
We border Little Pine. City limits borders. We actually have a great park, the Paul Miller Park, that has a public access there and a nice little
I've been there.
Camp facility, or not camp facilities, but picnic facilities and stuff like that. That's kind of the
end of the city limits
on that north side.
Really so, nice park.
Beautiful park. Yeah, beautiful lake too. So it's kind of one of those neat assets that we have, that we get to have, you know, living in this area. So
for you, just now, at, let's say personal, and turn that circle to lake life. What do you enjoy most about living in Lakes Country, or like being in a city?
You know, the area comes with a. An attitude, right? It's a way of living. It's a culture. It's a perspective. You know, I'm a pretty laid back individual. You know, I kind of roll with the punches with stuff, but yet I like to be productive and get things done and do things. And that's kind of the culture Perham's created, right? It's you know, when you think of the lakes and you think of you know, you think of relaxing and you think of you know, just being able to kind of hang out and have conversations, and you know, over a cup of coffee or a you know, an adult beverage if you choose, and you know, talk about all things worldly, right? Talk about different philosophies of things and how things structure, and that's really kind of that lifestyle, that creation that we've had. I think that really kind of attracts me to stay here and want to be here. It's just that ability to. You know, it's always relaxing. It's always calming. You know, people come here. You know, we always kind of say, you know, people travel thousands of miles to come and stay here for a week. You know, we get to stay here every day of our lives. And so it's kind of a vacation for us all the time. You know, I think about that even when I, you know, if I've taken a trip or a vacation, it's like, man, you know, I go there for a week and I really love to stay there. But, you know, there are people that live here every day and get to experience that. And I think people up here really kind of keep that in the forefront of their mind, that, you know what, we chose to live here. We want to live here. We enjoy the recreation, the opportunities, the outdoors, and the things that we have. And I think that's really kind of just a mindset and a you know, a personal choice that people make to live and want to be here. So
you agree it's a very different lifestyle.
It is. It's very different. Yeah.
There is a lake life.
Yeah. It's a lake life. Yeah, exactly.
And there is such thing.
Yeah. You've hit that really well with what you do and the Lake Life Weekend feel and stuff like that. I mean, it is. I don't want to say it's a culture, but it is. I mean, it's a mentality that, you know, people have here. And again, we see people move here yearly from, you know, different, why'd you move? Oh, you know, my family had a cabin up here growing up, and it was just the best time of my life. And I, you know, love coming on the weekends. And so I just, you know, I thought it'd be a great place to be and raise our kids or retire or whatever they're at in their life. And, And but they always remember that, why they came back. They came back because they have great memories. They have great experiences, being on the lakes and having recreation and just being in the area. And I don't think people forget that. And I think that's what creates the atmosphere that we have here. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
No, I'm a transplant as well.
Yeah, right.
And at the beginning, I did not get it. It took me quite a while to really see what you just described.
Yeah. Coming from North Dakota, I do the trees and the hills and, that kind of stuff, Mm. When, growing up in Hillsboro, it was flat.
Plain, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a lot of beet fields and, that kind of stuff. And so, which, have its purpose too. And that's a lifestyle in and of itself too. The ag lifestyle is a great one too. And a lot of friends that still live back there and go visit. But I do like to see trees and hills and, unfortunate, I guess I don't experience the lake itself a lot. I go around the lake. We do a lot of recreation outside, in the winter cross country, we try to cross country ski as much as possible. We bike, we do some ATV and stuff like that.
So probably you're really outdoors.
ATV. Yeah. Oh yeah. We do quite a bit. We camp a little bit and so that's kind of the fun part, right? For us. And in the city of Perham, we're able to capitalize on some of that stuff, having some of those assets close. We have some great parks that are able to get out and kind of experience and play around in, and so it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So I assume you don't have a boat then?
I don't have a boat. Yeah. I bought one. I actually had one. I bought an old 1964 StarCraft Dart, which was one of the first runabouts. It was a little 16-footer. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I had this vision of rehabbing it and, creating this cool little cruiser. But me and motors aren't necessarily
best friends.
Best friends, yeah. My mechanical ability isn't as great as I'd hope it would be, and so I could have probably just gotten a different motor for it. But it spent more time. I'd get it started, get it running, bring it out to the lake, one start. So it's kind of
a similar problem.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I sold that, and now I don't have a boat anymore.
Yeah. But a 60s. I have a 70s boat,
nice.
And my motor is always troubling me as well. So you're good. You're in the tree, you're in the woods. Cross country skiing.
Yeah, we do.
Is there one trail around locally?
So within the city of Perham, we don't have one. It's kind of we've talked about how we could accommodate that and do that. Cross country skiing is kind of an interesting thing. It's easy to put your skis on and just go what we call backcountry skiing, right? And where you're just trudging your own trail and going through stuff, which is always a possibility. But when you're doing groomed trails and that, you're talking some kind of specialized equipment and some stuff there, which we don't have as far as the city and things like that. But we're talking about ways to maybe accommodate for that within the community, because we do have Arvig Park, which is, I'm trying to think, it's 200, 300 acres of land, that's right kind of in town. So developing that and it's a beautiful area and trying to ski in that, so the golf course is on a part of that property, but ways to capitalize on that a little bit and utilize that. So we're trying to develop that. I've skied Maplewood State Park, Maple Log, some of those areas that have nice groomed skis, Itasca. Some of those areas, which again, being kind of centrally located here in Perham for those, it's each one's, a half hour, 40 minutes away, and it's really nothing to take a nice little Saturday and go skiing. So,
I haven't tried it yet, but I want to.
It'd be nice if we had a little more snow,
I know.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's kind of nice. I was looking outside today going, man, it kind of looks like, a March, getting springy kind of day, and then you step outside and obviously it's a little colder, but a little, snow is good. We like to have some snow in the winter to be able to do some of those things.
Yeah, I agree. I was missing snow too the other day, which is awkward in a way. Yeah, the bitter cold is just the tough one, but I think it's so pretty. I just love road trips, and I love them summer as winter. I love the landscapes.
Right, yeah.
When I drive from Perham to wherever I go, to Fergus Falls or the Detroit Lakes area, I just love those.
Yeah,
roads.
There's some beautiful roads, beautiful drives, so close. And again, I think, sometimes we take it for granted, because we're here living it every day. But again, kind of as I mentioned, people remember, when you're kind of, you have that aha moment, right? When you're driving, sometimes you go, man, yeah, that's why, this is why I live here. It's so relaxing. Your mind's kind of free and yeah, it's again, it's that culture, so it's yeah. it's pretty cool.
Well, I thank you very much for a lot of insights.
Yeah,
I know people can reach you through the city of
yeah,
Perm.
Always at the city hall in Perm here, and
call right in.
Yeah, 346-4455.
Yeah,
that's the number to, directly to city hall and
cityofperm.com.
Yep, cityofperm.com.
Yeah,
website. We try to keep that up to date as much as possible. We're on Facebook. We're trying to. You know, do that. You know, the different ways of communication mm-hmm. to get out to the residents and the people that you know out there. So we're always trying to post stuff on there to keep that current and keep that fresh. Whether or not it's just informational, if it's maybe some tips, maybe it's you know emergency situation, you know things like that. We try to get out and do that. Again, you know we dabble in a little bit of everything, right? So that would be our marketing side of,
yeah.
of stuff. So we're not necessarily all marketers and have the minds of marketing, but we do our best to try to get information out and
stay connected.
Stay connected and you know a big part of being in a community like this, especially is being involved, right? Whether it's you know with the actual city government, the civil side of it, or whether it's you know a nonprofit or the school district or you know the library or what have you. I mean, it's that's all part of that culture of being here, right? Is being involved and feeling part of a community. So we do what we can to try to accommodate that. So
yeah. Well, thank you again for coming.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you have a good weekend ahead.
You as well.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.